Well, good evening. You can hear pretty well. It sounds like you can hear pretty well. It's good to be here, and we were here last year, I think it was in May sometime, on Wednesday. My wife Shirley here had the ladies that morning, and we had that presentation in the evening here. And I have my daughter here with me, and my granddaughter visiting on vacation. Okay, and so glad to have them with us, and they're keeping us really busy this time at the stage of the game. Well, we'd like to show a few pictures, but you're probably thinking, oh, well, I saw the pictures last year. But believe me, they're different. Still about Bolivia, but they're not the same pictures that you saw. Maybe the ones you saw last year. Maybe you don't remember what you saw last year. I don't know. As was mentioned, we are at Pittsburgh Christian Village, and usually people think when we're at Pittsburgh Christian Village, are thinking, well, what's Helmut doing there? What's wrong with him? There's nothing wrong with him so far. Nothing major, no major problems. The Lord led us to Pittsburgh Christian Village in November of 2009, I think it was. We were living in South Florida for almost 7 years till the Lord led us here, because we like the cooler weather. Well, we like, because the Lord led us here, that's the important thing. Usually we make choices. We like to go where the weather is almost perfect. But while we were in South Florida, I'll just quickly mention, we were working with several Spanish churches, and we just made a trip recently to Florida for 6 days, and they kept us busy, the Spanish and the English people, but we were glad to be with them there. And since we left Bolivia, we were living in Bolivia for at least 3 years after we left Colombia, South America. We've been making yearly trips to Bolivia, and Bolivia has a special place in our lives because that's where we met. My wife is, no, she's not Bolivian. Don't be afraid. She's not Bolivian. We met in Bolivia on a literature crusades team back in the early 60s. That's how long ago it was. Doesn't seem that long, but it was long. And so Lord led us there, and because of health issues, we came to South Florida, and later we came to Pittsburgh Christian Village. Our daughters, our oldest daughter is not with us. Her daughter's with us here this evening in Asheville. And so we get to see each other a lot more often than we did in South Florida. So it's good to be. Not only for that reason, we do have a ministry with the in North Ridge Chapel and the gymnasium with the Spanish assembly there. We help them as much as we can. So we enjoy going there, being with the Spanish. And we also do some voluntary work also at the village when we can. So there's always helping, taking some of the residents to doctors and so forth and other activities, some activities on the grounds, and once in a while helping in the kitchen. Well, our time goes quickly, and I see your clock is not working too well. It's going too fast. I'd like to read a verse we all know very well, Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, so I will guide you with my eye. We all know that verse quite well. And I was reading that verse, I was thinking about decision. We need to make sometimes decisions. We need to know what the Lord's will for us is. And sadly to say, man, a lot of Christians don't really know what the will of the Lord is for them. As I was reading this verse in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. Well, how does that really happen? How does the Lord really instruct us? And how does he really teach us? So then I went over to James chapter 1. And I want to mention three things about decision, when you need to make decisions. And we want to look at three points here. When we need to make a decision or to do the will of the Lord, we have to be willing to do His will. First of all, we have to be willing to ask guidance of God. The other day I was in a drugstore and some of the signs struck that they had, just ask your pharmacist. Yeah, I thought, well, I'm going to ask the pharmacist and then he'll charge me for something. I don't know. But here we want to look at this first part, James 1, 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, or abundantly and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. We know those verses very well. If any of you lacks wisdom, we need willingness to ask guidance of God. Because who is the source of all wisdom? It says right here, it's God is the source of all wisdom. And how is wisdom obtained? It is obtained by prayer. And how is it given? It's given liberally or abundantly without reproach. It sounds easy enough, right? But do we really ask wisdom? Many times we do lack wisdom. I know here in the we need to ask in faith and not doubt. And I think here when we read of this chapter concerning the trials and tribulations, the problems that we face, we see it here in its context, probably is the ability to make wise decisions in difficult circumstances. The ability to make wise decisions in difficult circumstances. Now, when we have difficult circumstances, we don't make wise decisions, maybe. And I've experienced that. And we need to ask God guidance from God. The ability to make wise decisions when circumstances are difficult. We need to ask in faith and not doubt. So there has to be will to do the will of God. We must be willing to do it. Sometimes we probably stand in a fork in the road. We don't know which way to go, to the left or to the right. But first of all, there has to be willingness to ask. Then secondly, there must be a willingness to wait for God's guidance. Now that's hard for me, for many of us, but sometimes it seems imperative that we should make the choice at once. It's hard to wait, isn't it? But there has to be willingness to wait for God's guidance. Just read this verse, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 says, "Blessed are those who wait for him, for they shall not be ashamed." Blessed are those who wait for him, for they shall not be ashamed. They shall not be ashamed who wait for me. Another verse in Isaiah 49 and verse 23. So it has to be willingness to wait for God's guidance. It must be willingness to obey the will of God as it is revealed to us. We have to be willing to obey as God reveals His will through His Word. Somebody said the more time you spend in prayer, the less difficult it will be for you to find the Lord's will for your life. So prayer is important. And it also is important to obey. When God reveals His Word to us, we need to obey. I was a couple years ago in Romania, and we had A lot of the young people can speak English. They learn English by listening to, watching American movies. So sometimes they don't learn the proper language. But we were, I can remember one night we were talking on this subject with the young people there in Romania. And we were there till, we were there over 3 hours. Till after 12 o'clock. And then invited us to, for a pizza at 12:30 at night. But the important thing was that they asked questions. How do you really know? How can you really know? What? If, how does God show you the verses that you need to do to in order to do His will? So we went through that, and it was interesting. It says in Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So if, I think if we remember these three things, willingness to what? Ask guidance of God. Secondly, there must be willingness to wait for God's guidance. Blessed are those who wait for Him. And the third one, the willingness to obey the will of God as it is revealed to us. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And a lot of times we want the satisfaction that God will guide us in a way that we choose. That doesn't work that way. We want to have the satisfaction to be guided by God, which is good, but not the way we choose. God has to choose that for us. And I think that happens. So we need to ask wisdom of God, wait for His indication on the way, and obey Him without hesitation and wait for His timing. So I think those are things that can help us. And it's not easy. It's easy to say, but it's another thing to put into practice. We need to obey God. We need to ask, we need to wait, and we need to obey, and we need to be in His Word constantly. When we, before we go to Bolivia, we always have to make sure that the Lord wants us to go, because He guides us through His Word. He shows us, and sometimes you're reading a verse, and it just kind of like pops out at you, and there's the verse, right? That's happened to us a lot of times, so that is important. Now, we can say a lot more on this, we need to look at the pictures, because time is going by, and I might not come back again if I go over time. So anyways, I noticed on the bulletin you put, seek the Lord in His strength and seek His face continually. That's a good verse. I remember that verse. Okay, and don't forget the last letter on my surname, H. Okay, no problem. Okay, let's look at the pictures. If I'm going to be standing in anybody's way, just feel free to move over and to the side or whatever, because I'll be standing right over here working on this. Okay? Lights. Action camera. Okay, this is the emblem of Bolivia. You have the red on the outside of the flag, and the yellow and the green, yellow, red for all the revolutions and bloodshed, and the yellow for the gold and silver and all the forests and the red, green. And then also you might see in the center there a picture of a small llama, which is one of our favorite animals. But Bolivia was dominated by the Spanish. And they exploited Bolivia's silver and gold, and they used the Aymara Indians and the Quechua Indians and African slaves to do the job. And you've probably heard of Simon Bolivar. He was born in Venezuela, but he went to North America and Rome to study, and he came back in 1810 to liberate, to get independence for five countries, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, and Bolivia. Now, if you see Bolivia, it's right in the middle of South America. You have Brazil around it, Peru, Chile, Paraguay, and Argentina. and you see a little black dot. Now, you might not see it there, but in that, I can see it clear on here. You all can't come up here and look at this, but right on the bottom part, just on the border, there's a dot, a black dot. That's where the area we go into. And you have all these countries around. Now, Bolivia is the only landlocked country in South America. What does that mean? It means it's the only country that does not have access to the ocean, which makes it a lot difficult. It's the poorest country in South America. If you see over to your left, Chile and Peru, a large portion of that used to belong to Bolivia, but they lost that through a number of wars, and they won't give. Chile has like 3,000 miles of coastline. They won't even give anything to Bolivia. So that's a problem. There you see Bolivia, and you see that little, right in the bottom, just for Argentina, the little border outlined. It's called Tarija, named after Spanish general. That is the smallest department, what they call them departments or province, in that country, the country of maybe over 11 million people, and it's the richest department. Why? Because it has 86% of the natural gas reserves. And it also we'll see later on what else we have in that area, but it is a city of over 300,000 people. I'm getting some good advice here to stand over here. Whatever is better. Maybe because my wife couldn't see what. Can you see it? Can everybody see okay? You can't see through me, but you can. Okay, when we go to Bolivia, it's a bit of a hassle in a way, because to get to where we have to be going, we have to rally airport to get to Miami. Miami, the plane doesn't leave till midnight, 12 o'clock at night, and we don't get into our final destination. Here we land at La Paz, which is, they say, the highest international airport in the world. When you get there, it's over 13,000 feet above sea level. That's high. And you can't get off the plane. We have to wait in the plane for an hour to get to our final next destination, which is Santa Cruz. This is La Paz. And what happens, I have high blood pressure, so I have to quickly look for my peppermint Altoids, which help me put my pressure down. My wife is the opposite. She has cinnamon Altoids to help with her pressure. But, we're stuck here. What happened here? I think I touched the wrong. Maybe we'll get it. There we go. So when we're coming, when we land in Santa Cruz, we have to take, it takes almost 2 days to get there. We take another plane through the mountains to get to our final destination, which is this city, which is called Tarija. Tarija is, they have four seasons, but they're not severe. The summers might be as hot as 80 degrees Fahrenheit, maybe a little bit less, and winters are, it could get to freezing, but that's not too common. And we're at a perfect altitude, almost 6,000 feet above sea level. And there are a lot of parks and trees and flowers. And when we go, we have to remember that the seasons are opposite of what we have here, okay, because we're in the southern hemisphere. Okay, so now we're in the summer almost, and we're there in the... Now winter is really starting. We don't have snow, but it gets cold enough. You'll see some of the streets here, very narrow streets in some of the older buildings. Even fancy cars. Where do people get fancy cars? There's not very little industry. There's a lot of commerce, but people sell things on the street. Drugs are coming in. The last few years, drugs are coming in. A lot of those fancy vehicles are appearing all of a sudden. This is one of the main market areas right downtown. You can get fresh fruits and vegetables from the Indians and bring it in all year round. And this little bus on the right, they call a buseta. You can get a ride across town for just a few cents. The bus driver does everything. He opens and shuts the door and collects the money and so forth. Now, it's interesting to know that we have people that help us, and usually we go to Bolivia. We get our medical things taken care of, and this doctor is a Christian man. He does all the blood work for us, very extensive blood work for us. And we do this towards the end of our trip. And I said, well, how much do you owe me? You don't owe me nothing. I said, it's a good thing. I don't have any money. We ran out of money, really. But he's a dear man, and he helps us a lot. And we appreciate his help. Now, a lot of people have stores and anywhere and down the street and to make a living. Hamburgers and all that kind of different things. And now you can't see this brother. Is Javier. Okay. He drives a taxi part-time. To drive a taxi, all you have to do is just get a little sticker and stick it on your windshield, and you're a taxi. You don't have no taxi meters or anything. They just have a special rate depending upon the distance that you go. And this brother does it part-time. He's a good teacher, a gifted teacher, and we really hope that he will be one of the full-time workers, be recognized as a full-time worker. Now, internet, you see in the front there is there's a dog beside this tourist, my wife, and you can get internet at almost any corner for an hour. It's like, 20 cents, 30 cents, which is good. With different people we come in contact with, we get our watches done, we get any watches that are broken or the batteries we need, we get them from this man. And this man used to be much into politics. He became a Christian when we were there. I get my yearly haircut from him every year. Here you've got to pay almost, $20 maybe, or $14, whatever, and it's only about $1.50, and he gives me a great, good haircut. So these are the people we have come in contact with, and I witnessed it to him a lot, and he eventually finally came to know the Lord. Whoops, here we are again. I think I'm touching the wrong thing here. When we go, we usually take reading glasses with us because a lot of people cannot afford to get prescription glasses or reading glasses to read their Bibles. And this man is a photographer. We gave him these glasses he has wearing. And every time he has a little booth as a photographer, I always see him sitting there reading his Bible. So he's very happy to have his Bible. And this is a Jewish, the eye doctor that we go and see. And he's a very friendly man, but when it comes to the gospel or about the Lord Jesus, he doesn't want to hear about it. But he also gives us a free, good eye exam. This lady is one of the ladies in one of the assemblies there. She just lives day by day. She makes whatever she sells, a few sweets or candies or a drink and so forth, and she makes it. The Lord provides for her. And other people have, what do they do? They have this sister has this store, and they sell computers, everything related to computers, and we found that the prices were cheaper there than they were even here in the United States. You want fresh orange juice, you can get it on a lot of corners. They'll just squeeze the orange there. But the problem is, it's fresh orange juice, but a lot of people use the same glass. She just has a bucket of water, and when you finish drinking, you should just dunk the water glass into the bucket, and the next person comes along and drinks out of the same glass. But we haven't tried it. I don't want to. The Quechua people, this is the Quechua family. The Quechua Indians make up about 70% of the population, but they're very friendly people. And when we go to Bolivia, we're invited to a different home almost every day for a meal, for the noon meal, which is nice because we get into their homes, they ask questions, and we have a time of counseling with them, and help them with their family problems, etc. And so it's a good time to get to know them, especially when you get into their homes. Grapes is one of the industries there. A lot of grapes, of course, a lot of the young people get involved in liquor, but they export some of their wines even to Europe. Okay, the grapes are not really in full harvest until, when is it, December? January. Okay. Another brother who makes T-shirts and sporting equipment right in his home. And he makes it. And he has the four children, four beautiful children. Another family, Efrain and his wife Janet and the little daughter, have left Tarija to work in the Bible school in another part of the country to help with the technical part of the program. And he's also he was in one of my classes when I first started the Bible school in this other city called Camiri, and a great student. And for a young person, he's a gifted Bible teacher, which is good to see the young people prepare and teach the Word. And this is how they wash their clothes, a lot of the Indians, and that's a typical hat that they have on there that you see. The water is running all the time, and the dry season comes around, it's pretty difficult. Now, this is the first church, which was started well over 80 years ago by William Parrish, a British missionary, when there were only about 4,000 or 5,000 people in that city, Tarija. Now there's over 300,000 people. They have over 3,000 square feet property there. And we went last year, they had a conference for young people that came from all over the country. And here I get in some of the cleaning the floor of the back part of the chapel. Is it like a gymnasium, which can easily reach almost, 800, 900 people. And they're getting the stage ready. They're getting everything set up for this conference and also buying food. We can get fresh fruit and vegetables. All organic, by the way. It's fresh, and you can get it. The Indians bring it in, and you can get a reasonable price, especially if there's no supermarkets really there. Get it at a good price. And there are some of the ladies cleaning onions for the conference. People getting ready for the conference. We had a lot of people come. They use this auditorium, which we usually have meetings in, for a dining room. We had people coming, about 350 from out of town, and they had in the evenings up to 650 people come. Now this brother, with the yellow T-shirt, kneeling, he comes every year from another city, and he brings this group of people, not us, we're in there, but other people with him. And he works with them and disciples them and helps them to grow in the Lord. Now, this is the, of course, here it's a bit dark, but you can maybe see the meeting. And a lot of people like to do dramas and stories. Thank you. They love to do dramas, and they do a good job of it. Some of the young people, it's good to see so many young people. The city we live in, 50% of the people are 15 years of age or younger. So that's a good number. But 50% of the children in Bolivia are don't eat very well. This is the breaking the bread. You see a lot of people coming together for about 700 people coming together or more for the breaking of bread. And this just shows you one of the... They also usually invite in Argentinian speakers to come, and showing here the... you can't see it in the picture. I can see it here. The people have made commitments to follow the Lord. Now, Turkey is not too well known in Bolivia. But some people do raise turkeys, and this turkey happened to end up on our plate. And a Christian lady we went to visit, and it's a beautiful bird. We hate to kill a bird like that, right? Anyways, they just cut the turkey up in different pieces and stuck it in this brick oven, and cooked it for only 2 hours. Of course, you can try to eat something like that, and it was very, very hard to chew. I love turkey, but we couldn't hardly eat it. But the Bolivians are very friendly people. They always, with every meal, you have to have soup. If you don't have soup, it's not a meal. And usually it's a good bowl of soup. By the time you get your second plate, you're already full. But we had a good time with this lady. She's had a difficult time. She's had some health problems, and we tried to encourage her as well. And her husband doesn't, that's not her husband, it's just a relative of hers and her son sitting there. But we enjoyed the time with her there. This is the assembly, the third assembly that was started. The Quechua assembly was started about, 8 years or so ago, and they're able to buy a piece of property, and they have even some of the young people interested in helping. It's laying the bricks. And the interesting thing is, the only expense that they have is that they just have to buy materials for their construction. They have their own laborers, they have their own electricians and bricklayers, and they do all the work themselves. Remember one time they asked us to come, and then this was before the meal or after the meal, I don't remember. Now, this picture is not in the right order, but anyways. Chicken is one of the, is not very expensive, and they love to put lemon, and it's very good. It doesn't look tasty there, but it's very tasty. Very well done. And this is the kitchen in that place, and somebody in there just preparing the food there. And this is part of the meeting there with the Quechua people. And they are coming along for the Lord. And we're Lord willing, we hope to see them again this fall, Lord willing. This is the second assembly, which was started about almost 30 years ago by an Australian missionary. And we also had a chance to visit them. They sing and they had their meetings in Spanish and also sing in Quechua, in their language. This is the Quechua hymn book. Don't ask me to say those words, because I can't. This is part of that group. It's a good group. They have always a lot of children. We met with them last Sunday we were there, and surely having a class there with the ladies as well during the week. This man, Cornelius or Cornelio, and we were there, we were told before we made the visit that he had TB. And he wanted us to visit him. But I thought, well, if that's contagious, I don't want to go and see him, you know. But we've discovered that he had a rare form of TB, because he wasn't eating well and not taking care of himself health-wise. And we were there, and we prayed with him. And he's one of the main elders in the Second Assembly. And 2 weeks after we arrived home, we heard that he had passed away. He's only 57 years old. He said he only wanted to live to be 60. The Lord took him at 57. But they're really missing him, because one of the main elders in that Second Assembly. Okay, here we go. We give glasses to different people, and this lady can't read, but she was so happy, overjoyed to get these glasses, that she said, she was so excited, "Now I can see. Now I can see. Now I can see." And then this man, I think he could make a good a toothpaste commercial, right? I mean, he put his glasses on, and the appearance just changed completely. He was just, of course, he was just fooling around, you know, but that's worth all the pictures to see. And here are some people getting glasses. We take glasses with us. They're easy to take with us. The customs don't bother us for them, and the people really can't afford to buy glasses, so we give them the glasses to the people that really need them so they can pick out what suits them, and then they take one pair each. And this is the one of the assemblies which was started after a children's Bible club was held in that assembly for several years, and if finally started. It's been going about two or three years now, and they meet in this part of a garage, but they fixed it up, and it's also to see the young people taking part and helping, along with some of the older ones too, and taking responsibilities. And while we also have time. We go also mostly to encourage, to visit, and also from time to time, we do some of the teaching as well. And this brother has a 70-something Ford Corsica or something, which he gets around. There's people we know for quite a number of years that were saved, and we were there living there. And he's a truck driver, but he just can't get work. Very little work, so he's thinking of moving to another place. Now, when you're in Bolivia, there's dogs all over the place. People just open the front door and let their dogs out, and they just roam the streets. And they're a nuisance. And even downtown, it just makes everything just messy and smelly. You know what I mean? It's not a good thing, but that's what it is. Now, this family, Javier and his wife, over to your right, Lisbeth, and their children, they are really in the work of the Lord. I pray for them. And we're praying that they would be recognized as full-time workers. He's also a very good teacher. His wife teaches in a school, not a Christian school. It's a public school, but in the public schools, they have to teach. They have to teach communism mixed with animism. You know what animism is? It's one of the religions that the president practices, which is where spiritual beings occupy inanimate objects, like they would occupy a tree or flocks or mountains. And they have to teach that in the school, in the public school. There are Christian schools, but they have to teach that, because we have a leftist president who was elected in 2006, mainly the first Indian president elected in 2006, because he promised the Indians that they could grow all the coca they wanted to grow. Now, the coca leaf grows, especially 80% of it grows in the mountains of Peru and Bolivia. And, of course, it's part of their culture. The coca is part of their culture. The farmers who are the poorest in the world, they chew on it and it gives them strength. They might not have anything to eat for 2 or 3 days, and they chew on the coca leaf. Okay? In its natural state, it's not bad. It's good. We even have some tea. And it's good for your upset stomach, or it's good for your lungs. But the problem is the drug traffickers get it, and they make, from the sale of raw coca, it goes to Colombia, and it's, of course, they make it into cocaine. That's the problem. This is the presidential airline. Well, he owns a fleet of airlines we were on, but the city we landed in, and a lot of flights in the country, because it's very hard to get around, and a half an hour or 20-minute flight would probably take you, if you're going by bus, would probably take you 13 or 14 hours, maybe longer. Okay, this is another shot of that second assembly, and then we have a picture of one of the fountains downtown reminding us of John Chapter 9, verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. So we need to take all the opportunities we can to serve the Lord while we can, because the night is coming when we won't be able to work for him, and we need to take advantage of all the opportunities that we have. Now, here it's a lot clearer, but there you go. That's it. I guess our time is up. No time for questions. Well, there's a few things here. If you want to see some typical things that we have from Bolivia, and my wife has them. She'll explain it to the ladies, just to the ladies, what she has on there. We want to mention a couple of things for prayer. Pray for us as we plan to make, Lord willing, another trip to Bolivia this September. We're not sure. Not quite sure yet how things will go for that, but we would like to. It might be our last time. It's hard to know. Every time we go, it seems to be more difficult. You get older, it's not as easy. But pray for, you've seen a few things, pray for Bolivia. And we know that you used a handbook, which is good, that some assemblies, what they do is we've noticed that each family gets a missionary prayer handbook and encourage each family to pray for the missionaries each day. And it's a good thing, good thing. Also, pray for us in our ministry with the Spanish church there in Raleigh, because they're having some problems. We need to help them get sorted out. A lot of them are young believers. They need to be guided, and we need wisdom to help them as they study the Word and as they meet together. Now, I think there's no time for questions, right? Maybe afterwards. Time's up. Let's have a word of prayer then. Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you that we can be guided and directed by your Word. We thank you for this assembly too, for their ministry in different areas, and we just pray for your blessing upon them and for their interest in missionary work around the world. We know that the field is won, and we can be occupied and concerned and praying for missionaries around the world. We just commit this time to you now. We praise you and thank you for your goodness to us and for what you have done in our lives. We just pray you to help us to take advantage of the time that we have, because we know that your coming could be very soon, and we need to work while it is day, because the night is coming when no one can work. We just pray for your blessing upon each one of us now. We ask it again in Jesus' precious name. Amen.